God has given us two hands, one for receiving and the other for giving. Today at Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell teaches us how to steward the blessings of God.
When we steward effectively here in this world, that even if the Lord calls us home, we're prolonging and we're allowing the gospel message to continue to go out for the glory of God. And I'm thankful for a faithful grandfather. And many of us are parents and grandparents. And we want to be faithful to leave a legacy of stewardship.
Stewardship is an act of worship, an expression of faith, and a discipline for spiritual growth. In our series, The Gracious Steward, Pastor Chappell shows us how to steward the resources God has entrusted in our care. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Many Christians find it difficult to practice stewardship. But stewardship is more than giving money. It's about being accountable to God for the blessings He has given us. Today, we invite you to learn more about what it means to be a gracious steward. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called A Gracious Steward.
George Mueller wrote these words, "Let us walk as stewards and not act as owners, keeping for ourselves the means with which the Lord hath entrusted us. He has not blessed us that we may gratify our own carnal mind, but for the sake of using our money in His service and to His praise." And because of this, many needs were met to the glory of God. A friend of mine was at a McDonald's restaurant with his son a few years ago, and they went up to the counter, and he ordered a hamburger, and his son ordered a hamburger and French fries, and they had a Coke, and they were sitting down having some dad and son time. And after a while, the dad looked over at his son's side of the table there, and he reached across, and he grabbed a French fry or two, and he's getting ready to have the French fry. And when he did that, his son put his hand away and said, "Those are my French fries." Well, the dad had paid for the French fries, bought ketchup for the French fries. The dad had brought the boy into the world and had blessed him with all these blessings. And yet the kid was saying, "Those are my French fries." And the dad had to explain to him, "Son, I paid for those French fries and I gave them into your possession. I'd like to have a French fry." And you know, sometimes that's how Baptist and Christians can be with God. We want to say, "God, these are my French fries. This is my account. This is my house. This is my life. I want to do with it what I want to do with it." But that's not the attitude of the steward. The steward says, "Lord, this is all yours. And I want to do with this as you want me to live and to lead." The recognition of the steward is that every possession we have belongs to God. We're simply managing the affairs that He has given to us. And that's what we learn in verse 13. He brought His servants together. He gave them those 10 pounds. And He said, "Recognize, this is mine for you to invest." Now, notice secondly, though, this morning, not only the recognition of a steward. And if you don't get that point, you're not going to get anything we talk about today or next week. We've got to remember that He's the owner, we're the manager. But notice secondly, the responsibility of the steward. So here they receive from the Lord. Now, what is their responsibility? And I want you to see one of my favorite little sayings of the Bible. Verse 13 says, "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come." Now, we don't say that a lot, occupy till I come. So let's just kind of say it together here and kind of learn what it means. All right, occupy till I come. Ready, begin. Occupy till I come. That's kind of a strange thing. Jesus comes to them and says, here's some money. I want you to occupy till I come. All right, let's say it one more time. Occupy. Occupy till I come. Now, when we hear this phrase, occupy till I come, we're mindful of the responsibility of a steward, and that is to manage the business of another. And the word occupy means to carry on the business. He's simply telling these servants that while he is away, he wants them to settle down and do business. It could be defined as remaining in business. He says, "I want you to remain." Now, sometimes some of us might get a little bit prone to wander, you know, and we want to go here and do this and that, and the grass is greener on the other side. Sometimes in a spiritual sense, we even think it's going to be great to go to heaven. But Jesus says to these, his servants, he says, now, I'm going to give you these resources. I want you to remain. I want you to put in some roots, and I want you to get some things done for eternity while you're still here. He says, I want you to, say it with me. Not bad. Let's try again. I want you to occupy till I come. One pastor said it this way, one evangelist, a true faith in Jesus Christ will not allow us to be idle. No, it is an active, lively, restless principle. It fills the heart so that it cannot be easy till it is doing something for Jesus Christ. And so we must remain. But then also we must resist. We must resist those forces that come against us. Now, I want to show you a verse I never really saw in this passage until a few weeks ago, and it really dawned on me the meaning of it. I want you to see it here with me. Verse 14, it says, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now, we could jokingly apply that to a lot of different political situations, but let's get our thinking to a higher plane this morning, okay? Who is the man that they did not want ruling over them? Well, it was the nobleman. And in this parable, the nobleman represents whom? Jesus Christ. So Jesus is saying, I want you to settle down and do business for me, but I want you to remember you're going to be in a kingdom that does not want me. They don't want me to rule. They don't want to hear what I have to say. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you this morning that if you intend to live for Jesus Christ, not everyone will be for you. And as we determine to build buildings, as we determine to send missionaries, as we determine to pass out gospel tracts, those that hate our Savior will not always say, oh, it's wonderful. The Baptist Church is coming again. Wonderful. There's going to be a special day at the Baptist Church. Not everybody stands for Jesus Christ. In fact, look what the Bible says in 1 John 3:13. It says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Let's read that verse together. Ready to begin. Marvel not, my brethren. So as we do business for the Lord, we must recognize not every community wants a new church. We must recognize that not everybody wants to hear more about Jesus Christ. But our responsibility as we manage the affairs of our Lord is that we remain and that we resist and that we are faithful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to manage the business of the owner. And then secondly, our responsibility is to report to the owner. So look at what it says in verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now, I believe in accountability. I practice it in my life, and I believe that if you work somewhere and your boss gives you an assignment, that it should not be a problem to you if there's a staff meeting and he wants to know or she wants to know, how's that project going? I believe a spiritual Christian does not mind being accountable. A spiritual Christian is someone that gladly is accountable, and Jesus Christ teaches us that principle. And he brings these servants back in, and he says to them, how has it been going with the blessing that I gave to you? He calls them in to give a report. He expected them to notice in verse 15 to tell how much they had gained. He wanted to know at the latter part of the verse there that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So there's three areas in which we will report to Jesus Christ. And did you know a big part of my job as a pastor is to get you ready for the day when you stand before Jesus Christ? Because it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this the judgment. How many of you believe that one day you're going to stand before Jesus Christ? All right? So let's talk about how to get ready for that, right? Let's not wait till the day before a funeral. Let's think about it right now. What are the things that we're going to stand before the Lord respecting? So notice, first of all, we're going to stand before him for the management of this life. Our management of this life. The Bible says that he called them together, the ones that he'd given the money, that he might know how much they had gained. The king returned, and he called them to account. Luke 16 and verse 2 says, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer a servant. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So Jesus will say, I've given you children, I've given you jobs, I've given given you blessings? What have you done with those things? And how are those things being used to further the kingdom of God? Andrew Murray once wrote, "The world asks, what does a man own? Jesus asks, how does he use it?" You see, everyone here is blessed differently. God is not going to judge you by how much you have, but by how you use what he has given to you. Have you honored him in this life? And so we see our management will come into account. Secondly, our investments will come into account. You see, God expects us to work hard and to invest wisely. That's why Christians should stay away from gambling or speculative types of investments. That's why we should be prayerful over every major purchase, and we should really consider what honors the Lord in the way of stewardship. Daniel Webster once said, "My greatest thought is my accountability to God." He knew that he would stand before the Lord for every decision that he made. The Bible says in Proverbs 10 and verse 4, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." And so God wants us to steward wisely the blessings that he has given to us. Lee Iacocca was the chairman at Christ. And many of these CEOs were very, very prosperous, of course. But Lee Iacocca wrote in his latter years these words, "Here I am in the twilight years of my life, still wondering what it's all about. I can tell you this, fame and fortune are for the birds." Well, I can tell you this, if you live for Jesus, and if you take the blessings of God and steward them well, and if you're faithful to take what God has given to you and honor him, and you honor him in your giving and serving of others, you will come to the end of your life not with regret, wondering about the meaning of life, but with gratitude that you have honored Jesus Christ as a faithful servant. And so we're going to stand before the Lord for our management. We're going to stand before the Lord for our investments. And then may I say this thirdly, we will stand before the Lord for our eternal investments. That's why we want to invest in the heavenly, why we are here on this earth. That's why we want to use our affluence for eternal influence. That's why we want to say, "Lord, you've blessed me. How can I further your kingdom as your steward?" In fact, notice what it says in your notes. Matthew 6:19. The Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You see, every time we write a tithe check or a special offering check, we're laying up in the bank of heaven, a place where there's not going to be a robbery, there's not going to be something that corrupts or is taken away. It's an investment for eternity that glorifies God. And you see, the fact of the matter is that this is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to manage the business of our owner, Jesus Christ, and to report to our owner, Jesus Christ. By the way, how many of you believe that you have been bought with a price? Say amen. Amen. The Bible says we've been bought with a price. The price was the blood of Jesus Christ. So we are now the possession of the Lord Jesus. He is our master, Lord, and owner. And we are his servants in this world. And so when we give and when we multiply his kingdom, we are serving our rightful owner. So the recognition of a steward is simply that. He's the owner, I'm the manager, and the responsibility of the steward is to invest wisely, to give generously, and to care for the blessings that God has given to me so that I can one day give an account to him and hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You took what I gave to you, and you multiplied it, and you honored me, and you helped others to know me, and you blessed your family, and you blessed your neighbor, and you were faithful with what I gave to you. Well done." And I don't know about you, but when I stand before the Lord, the greatest joy of life and eternal life for me would be to have him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's why today is so important. Then notice finally with me this morning, not only the recognition of a steward, not only the responsibility of a steward, but notice finally the reward of a steward. Now this is awesome. Not only does God give us so many blessings, not only do we have the privilege to honor him with those blessings, but one day, if we're faithful, he will reward us accordingly. The Bible says in verse number 16, "Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Now this guy took 1 pound and made 10 pounds. How many of you would say, "I'd like to meet that guy. I'd like to know how he did that"? And he came to the Lord and he had multiplied tenfold what God had given him. So notice here the blessing for the fruitful. One man gained 10 pounds, one man gained 5 pounds, and God gave to them a blessing. In fact, he says something rather amazing to me in these verses. He says in verse 19, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Now, we don't have a lot of time to discuss this morning, but just very briefly. There is coming a period of time at the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is known as the millennial kingdom of Jesus. It will last 1,000 years. Jesus will rule and reign. The disciples wanted it right then and there, but it will come when Jesus returns. And what Jesus tells his disciples is that if you are faithful to me in this earth time, I am going to have you rule and reign with me in my kingdom. And there are some scriptures here this morning to tell you about this. For the church, for the Christian, Matthew 19:27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and have followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my namesake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Jesus says, if you're faithful with what I've given you on this earth, if you've been willing to turn your back on the things of this world and follow me, then you're going to rule with me. Now, I've heard different preachers talk about this, and I've heard some preachers say, I don't know where I'm going to rule with the Lord, but I'd like to be the mayor of Los Angeles, you know. I'd like to be the governor of California. I'd love to be the governor of California, frankly, just for a week or two, maybe, and just to reverse some laws that have been passed recently. Amen? I don't know how or where we will rule with the Lord. The principle is this. God says, if you honor me, I'm going to remember what you did. And I'm going to remember you, and you will rule with me in that millennial kingdom. Similar things were said to the children of Israel. Notice in Daniel 7:18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So God is saying, I'm going to honor those who have honored me throughout the ages. God wants us to learn how to honor him, because his principle is very simple. If you honor me, I'm going to honor you. If you give to me, I'm going to give to you. In fact, notice the verse in your notes there, Luke 6:38. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal shall be measured to you again. How many of you have already been learning in your life? You cannot outgive God. Give and it shall be given to you. And God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you for your fruitfulness. I'm going to bless you for your faithfulness. If you give, it shall be given to you. We just need to recognize God not only blesses us here on this earth, it may be with a job or a promotion or some other provision, but he says, I'm going to bless you in my millennial kingdom as well. And he said, you had multiplied by 10, I'm going to give you 10 cities. You multiplied by 5, I'm going to give you 5 cities. And so they were blessed for their fruitfulness, but they were blessed for their faithfulness. Can I just say this morning? It doesn't matter if you're 18 or 88. God is not looking to see how much you have, but he's looking to see what you're doing with what you have. He just wants us to be faithful stewards. But the Bible says when one soul receives Jesus, the angels rejoice in heaven. You see, he being dead yet speaketh. And all of us need to remember that when we steward effectively here in this world, that even if the Lord calls us home, we're prolonging and we're allowing the gospel message to continue to go out for the glory of God. And I'm thankful for a faithful grandfather. And many of us are parents and grandparents. And we want to be faithful to leave a legacy of stewardship for our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was a blessing for the fruitful. But let me show you this finally. There was a burden for the wasteful. You don't want to waste what God gives to you. Notice what it says in verse number 20. It says, another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. And Jesus in verse 22 said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Now here we see a man that comes in verses 20 and 21, and he has no return. And let me just say something very quickly to you. This man in his mind had begun to reason. And he said, you know, the master, he's an austere man. He's a hard man. If I lose this, I'm in big trouble. And he began to think it through. And his thought process brought him to a place where he decided, I can't put this out to an investment. And many people overthink instead of simply obeying God. May I share with you this morning that we will either give to the Lord by reason or by revelation. We will either come to the revelation, this is God's revealed word, and the Bible says, give and it shall be given, and we'll give by the revelation of the Bible, or we begin to reason. Well, what about this? What about this? And I don't know if I can do this. And we begin to reason. And this man reasoned himself out of a blessing. If you understand that this morning, say amen. He relied on his logic to the point that when Jesus came, instead of getting a blessing, he was judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to be careful that we come to the place where we do not waste the opportunity. Because of that, he had no return to give back to the master. Because of that, he lost the blessing of God. In fact, it's rather amazing to me that he simply says here at the very last in verse 24, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Now listen to me this morning. You can take what God has given you and you can sow it into eternity and you can be a faithful steward, or you can hold it and squander it and lose it, and God will give someone else the privilege of using it for his honor and for his glory. I want to encourage you, don't be a wasteful steward, but be an involved and obedient steward for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that last verse in your notes, 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Your gift might be a gift of serving, it might be a gift of giving, but when God gives you that gift, use that gift. Use it or lose it. Use that gift to the glory of God. And so let's think of these three thoughts this morning. First, we see the recognition of a steward. Everything that I possess belongs to the Lord. He's the owner. I'm the manager. That's something that all of us need to recognize this month. Secondly, the responsibility of the steward. I must take what God gives to me and invest it for his kingdom. That's my responsibility. Whether it's in the work of God, whether it's in the realm of multiplying proper investments, God wants me to be faithful. And then finally, not only do I recognize his ownership, not only do I see my responsibility, but I must remember that I will be rewarded according to my faithfulness. Now, why should we steward like this? Why should we see everything that we have as belonging to the Lord? Well, first of all, because it does belong to him. But secondly, because of what he did for us. What? Know ye not that you've been bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years ago, went to Calvary's Hill. He went up to that cross voluntarily. He shed his blood. He died on that old rugged cross. He was placed in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. 3 days later, he rose up again. Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin and mine. Who are we to say, Lord, all right, thanks for giving me salvation, but get out of my way. I'm going to spend and do and live the way I want to live. That's not Christianity. Christianity is saying, Lord, you have given so much to me. What do you want me to do with these things you've entrusted to me? May that be our spirit as good stewards. While the nobleman is away, Jesus said, I will come again. May we be occupying until he comes. Occupy until I come. Let's say that together. Occupy until I come.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.